When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, hour number two. As you were coming back, I just heard Bart say, oh, spit, which means something bad happened. So in the meantime, I'll take this opportunity then to bring in Mike Tannenbaum, friend of the show. Of course, it's the Mike Tannenbaum Report that we do each week, brought to you by Sansone Auto Mall. 10 top brands, over 2,000 vehicles. One place, Sansone Auto Mall in Woodbridge. Is everything okay, Bart?
I squatted yesterday, man.
And then you just ripped your pants. What'd you do?
No, I hadn't squatted in like 3 months. I hadn't did no legs outside of like boxing and like lunges and like with 20s in my hand. Uh-huh. It's not a great day.
So you just pop something? You felt something pop?
It's just tight.
Well, Mike, I guess Bart is not available to sign anytime soon as linebacker.
I need some of them drink supplements that Mike T's selling. What's the name of it again, Mike? I need some
that's
more.
That's right.
It's actually now called Don't Quit, which is it's a fantastic product.
How many times you gonna rebrand it, man?
Don't quit.
Listen, you need to make me a sponsor. Like, I mean, how can Frank Thomas be the face of Nugenic and he ain't lost no weight, dude still fat as hell, and he wear a black t-shirt on every commercial? Meanwhile, I'm a guy that's in his 40s that can show y'all, and you see that, Alan? I still got it, son.
Gun show.
You see that, son?
Yep, this guy's
in an RA. I'll do the product good. Well. You know
Licensed
what I'm saying?
Weapons on those
Frank
bicycles.
Thomas fat as hell.
Hey, Alan, haven't I already paid Bart enough for this lifetime? Like,
so why stop? That's our relationship. Why stop?
Well, speaking of
boy up.
Speaking of paid and relationships and people we know, Mike T, I wanted to get your thoughts on this tweet from Jacina Anderson that has suddenly gone viral, where Jacina reports that she was told that Rex Ryan has interviewed for the Cowboys' vacant defensive coordinator job.
That would be
intrigue.
You're
not going to find a better, bigger fans of Rex Ryan than Bart Scott and myself. But I will say, like, if you really – and, look, I understand, like, with Rex and his high profile and his big personality, people are going to maybe have a view of him or not, Alan. But I would just suggest if anybody wants to criticize Rex Ryan, look at his record. Look at his record on defense. You're not going to find anybody with a better record every place he coached. That defense was better after he coached it. And that's really like the mark of evaluating a coach. You know, what did they inherit and how did they produce once they were there?
You talk about going all in. Let me ask you something. You're going to get Rex Ryan, two lockdown corners, Bland who had 10, and you got Diggs coming off an injury, and you're going to give him a pass rusher that he can move as a chess piece? Quit playing, man. Game over. Not even fair. Go out, get him a middle linebacker to hold it all together. Not even fair. You can go get whatever. If you're talking about being all in, you talk about not being soft. You talk about not being soft, not being disciplined, not being thugged out. Man, damn. That wouldn't even be fair, in my opinion. You give a guy a brain like Rex Ryan, like usually he had one or the other. Right? When he was with the Jets, he had lockdown corners, but he didn't have true natural pass rushers, right? When you go to Baltimore, he had lockdown corners, a generational safety, but he only had one true pass rusher in Terrell Suggs. Like, Jerry Johnson was good. Adelius Thomas was more of a blitzing guy. You give him two of the most important things that a Rex Ryan defense needs, and all you need to do is tell a guy how to hold double teams and stop the run, man, that's game over. Game over.
It would be an incredibly intriguing hire on many levels. Number one, again, like you guys are both saying it, and nobody will deny it. You get one of the best defensive minds in the game with a defense that has, a ton of talent on it. But doesn't it also bring into the conversation if things aren't working out with Mike McCarthy, another guy who's been a head coach?
Mike McCarthy. Listen, but if he's on that staff and that staff is successful, Mike McCarthy ain't going nowhere, right?
True.
So it's not like if they lose, then everybody's gonna get fired. It's not like they're gonna elevate Rex, you know. In my opinion.
Yeah, and like for me, I would say this: like I know there'll be the whole like, well, Mike McCarthy, if you worry about it, like Rex Ryan could go in there and save Mike McCarthy's job.
That is true too.
It's one thing.
Like I said, I'm just reading through this thing right now, and you just think about it. In Dallas, where they like Jerry likes to have a big splash, this seems to make a ton of sense. It does. But, and I know, Mike, I don't want to put you in an awkward position because you know Rex very well, and I don't know if you know anything more than this and that you can't reveal. So we'll move into other conversations. But it's definitely something we're all watching because, you know, we all care about him. We all love to see him back in the sport. I wanted you to finish the thought. Go for it.
Yeah, I would just say like he hasn't coached his last game. I don't know if it's going to work out this opportunity, but you know Rex was put on this earth to coach defense. It wasn't to bloviate on get up every Monday morning. Even though he's good at that, he was put on this earth to coach, and he'll coach one way or the other. And I think there's so many things about him that are interesting, but, maybe my favorite story about him is there was a corner called his name was Ahmad Carroll, and he was a disappointing first-round pick, Batman, and he had a lot of holding calls. He was at Green Bay, and we got him, and the one thing he could do was he could blitz. He was a great slot blitzer. So what did Rex do? He put in the Batman blitz, and he did it for a couple of reasons. He wanted Ahmad Carroll to feel like he was part of the team. But he said something so insightful, guys, to me, and I think this is Rex in a nutshell, which is by just having something called the Batman Blitz in the playbook, we're going to get great practices from him. We're going to get great buy-in from him. And when you're managing 53 men, 53 dreams and insecurities and everything that goes along with managing an NFL team, something as subtle as, hey, let's name a blitz after a guy that was a complete bust someplace else. And look, he wasn't a difference maker on those great teams we had. But boy, did he give us help, in terms of practice and things like that. And those are some of the subtle things that will never be in a score sheet. They'll never make the light of day. But those are some of the things that made Rex so good at his job.
I love that. It's a great little nugget about things behind the scenes that a lot of people don't know about. And it's a perfect way to explain it because, again, everybody sees the guy at the podium, but there's stuff going on behind the scenes. That's
those
so much different.
Defensive genius.
Well, and then there's that too. Let's also include that part of it and the lineage. But Mike, on that same kind of front, and Bart and I haven't had a chance to really talk about this yet. So obviously, Bart, in this conversation, I'd love to hear your take as well. Did you see the report about Mike Vrabel and why he didn't get a job, and the suggestion that some people considered him too intimidating? Because obviously, as a former player, he's a big dude, got a big presence, and some people, front office ownership, might have felt like it would be difficult to work with him because of the intimidation factor. Have you ever heard of that before? And did you ever have somebody working for you that you felt intimidated by?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you a couple of guys I was. But look, Vrabel's a great coach. And if you're intimidated by it, like, candidly, you're in the wrong line of work. Like, this is a physical sport and you want smart people. And I'll tell you a couple of things. One, Bill Parcells, my first day on the job, when I shook his hand, first of all, I was scared to death. I was 27 years old, had an opportunity of a lifetime. I was making $300 a week, and I got a chance to have a very prominent role with Coach Parcells and Coach Belichick, and I was extremely nervous as anybody would be in that position. Mm-hmm. I was shocked how big he was. And then secondly was Dan Campbell, when we hired Dan to be our interim head coach in Miami. Like, let me just tell you guys something. Don't ever, 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 ever be in the weight room with Dan Campbell. You will feel awful about yourself. I had tremendously low self-esteem, and I'd walk into the weight room, and I mean, he can go play tomorrow. And I'm like, hey, Dan, you know what? I'm going to go take the executive walk, 30 minutes walk, steam sauna, and call it a day. So I've been around some really big men, Alan.
Tremendous. You walk into the gym, you see Dan Campbell, you're like, I'm going to do some yoga.
Like, I'm going to Planet Fitness.
Where's the local arm?
I'm going to go stretch if you need me.
Exactly. That one blew my mind when I saw it, so I had to bring it up. The Washington Commanders are in an interesting situation right now, aren't they? Where Ben Johnson doesn't take the job. So now instead it opens up all kinds of opportunity, which now also includes Cliff Kingsbury going there, which now as the OC, which now leads us to believe, are they all in on Caleb Williams? And I heard the debate this morning on Get Up about all that stuff. And where are you on this? I mean, do you – you'd still have to see, the Bears would have to say they don't want to draft him. Or is this an Eli Manning situation? I mean, give me both sides of this. If you're on either one of these teams, are you already starting to negotiate a, okay, we'll take him, but then you trade for us, just like we did the, you know, again, the Phillip Rivers, Eli Manning thing that ended up being where he went one, but he ended up with the Giants.
Yeah, look, if I'm in Chicago, I'm going to make this a quick conversation, which is like we're drafting Caleb Williams, and if the phone rings, we're not picking it up. So, look, he's not perfect. He was sacked 83 times. Like, you know, none of them are. You know, they all have, you know, different things they have to work on. But he's a tremendous talent. And if I'm Washington, you know, the natural connections, Cliff Kingsbury's there. He's from the D.C. area. That's, you know, that's home for him. You know, I mean, what a tremendous way to try to reinvigorate your fan base with someone like him. I just don't know why Chicago would make that trade, guys.
Yeah, me either, especially because they have plenty of draft equity from the deals that they made last year. And, you know, they passed on Patrick Mahomes. They passed, you know, on C.J. Stroud. And at some point, they have to want the number one guy. But I guess with the you know, the report to that, or the belief that they hired Kingsbury, if they don't get him, then what's Kingsbury's value to the squad, if that's the case?
Because it's his system, and and obviously Williams comes in with knowledge of that system, intimate knowledge.
Yeah, because the last time we seen it, you work with a guy like this with Ryan Tannehill. The reason why Ryan Tannehill had such success coming straight from college is because they hired his head coach as the offensive coordinator, and it was a seamless transition because he already knew the nuance of the system and being able to, you know, make the adjustments at a high level.
Right. Well, look, I mean, you hope that you're signing Cliff Kingsbury to your OC for reasons beyond like one transaction. I would hope to think they just didn't do it just to say, hey, we can make Caleb Williams more attractive. You know, like, I don't think that would be the case. Hopefully not. But, you know, Cliff has his own track record, so we'll see how that plays out. But I can't imagine you're just, you know, signing Cliff Kingsbury to say, hey, we're going to now get Caleb Williams.
Well, what's crazy is the fact that Cliff Kingsbury, you know, took his name out of the running for the Raiders job, which I felt like he would have had a better chance.
Well, didn't he almost – I thought he had like a verbal agreement, right? Wasn't he close to taking the job? And then all of a sudden it flipped.
He backed out and he
When Dan Quinn became the coach in Washington, then all of a sudden it was like, wait, let's get this guy, and that gives us a better chance to get Caleb Williams.
Right, because in my opinion
I will say, guys, like, I've been on the other end of those transactions for 20-plus years. Like, that was extremely unusual. Hmm. I can't tell you how many times, like, you reach agreement in principle with a coach and say, all right, like, you know, this time of year, everyone's busy. You know, your general counsel's busy. You know, they're traveling, whatever. I mean, there could be, you know, 5 to 7 days from the time you handshake it until the time you get a deal signed. What happened with him in Vegas is extremely, extremely rare.
Hmm. Yeah, because in my opinion, like, if he wants to be a head coach again, well, Antonio Pierce doesn't have any experience. He's probably not going to command a big time salary. I know they, you know, you would think Dan Campbell would have a longer runway than Antonio Pierce. So, you know, I just thought, you know, that was the better gig. But, you know, the byproduct of all this, whether we're going to talk about from the Bears standpoint or the Commanders standpoint, It's a talented young player there in Justin Fields. That's a deal has to be made. So if you're drafting this kid, you got to trade Justin Fields. Yeah. What kind of conversations are you having if you're a team that needs a quarterback, like maybe Tampa, like, you know, potentially, you know, some of these other teams that can, Atlanta, and maybe your guy falls out of you're in the top 10 and, you know, you only think that it's three great players there, and they can go 1, 2, 3, and you're the guy, you're the team sitting at 4, and you want a good quarterback that you can think you can build around. Like, what kind of conversations are you having with Chicago, and what is Phil's real value, far from draft equity capital?
Yeah, I think Fields, to me, at the end of the day, just to cut through a part, I think he winds up in Atlanta or Pittsburgh. I think it's for 2, and I think if I'm Chicago, I take Caleb Williams and move on. And I think, you know, with Arthur Smith in Pittsburgh, that makes sense. And I think in Atlanta, it's a homecoming, and obviously they need a quarterback. So I think at the end of the day, Pittsburgh, Atlanta for two really makes sense. And I think guys like, you go back a year ago, all this stuff happened at the combine. So I think it'll happen sooner than later.
No, that's interesting, too. That certainly is coming up here. We have a Super Bowl, though, that we haven't talked about yet, Mike. I mean, that is certainly, you know, the don't forget about that part of it.
We're talking about, you know, Bart, we're talking about Bart's pain. We're talking about Bart's suffering. I mean, there are priorities here.
as usual.
Roscoe Jenkins, team and me.
And Bart wanting to get paid to endorse more products. Is the bigger story in this game Mahomes' leg? Like, to me, Taylor Swift is a big story. We all know that. That's on the outside. I'm talking about, though, the result of this game. Is the Patrick Mahomes legacy story the biggest headline for you for this game? If he wins one, boy, he's suddenly now in that conversation. And can he get more? And if he loses, it's sort of kind of like, it might draw us back to how hard it is to win as many as Tom Brady did. But one way or another, I think we'll be talking about Patrick Mahomes after this game.
Yeah, I actually think the bigger story, candidly, is, you know, I think the window is really closing in on Kyle Shanahan. And here's
yes.
why. Look, really? we could debate all we need. Yeah, well, here's why. Because, look, we could debate till the cows come home. Like, is Brock Purdy an A or a B? But he's going to make at least $40 million, right? So that's a $40 million increase to their payroll. So what's going to happen is guys like Brandon Ayuk, they're going to graduate, probably George Kittle. They're not going to be able to trade for players like Christian McCaffrey or Chase Young. And, like, this may be their best chance to win for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, that's my story, too, because
– You said that about Purdy.
I don't know what they're going to do with Chase Young because he looks horrible against the run. He's getting put on his backside, and they gave up a first-round draft pick for him kind of to go all in. You know, next year, if they decide to say we're going to pay Chase Young, they can have annually over $90 million on a defensive line that really hasn't given them much in the playoffs. So at what point do we start calling Kyle Shanahan like Dan Reeves?
It's fair. You know, I think this will be, you know, something that, look, they have a good chance to win. They're obviously favored in this game. I personally think Kansas City is going to win.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I just think when you think about guys like the built-in advantage they have a $40 to $50 million advantage, and they've done a great job getting McCaffrey, getting Chase Young, getting, you know, those sort of players. That's going to go away. It's just math. And they're going to pay Brock Purdy, and it's going to take away from multiple players. And, look, I don't think Detroit's far away. I don't think Green Bay's far away. Philly was in the Super Bowl last year, and I think it's going to be a competitive, you know, game, obviously, on Sunday. But I think if you said to me, you know, Kansas City has the youngest defense in the NFL. So I think Kansas City's window is much more open than San Fran's.
All right. When we close this conversation, we have to go where we were before we brought you into the show, Mike. And that is Bart saying this ridiculous statement, which I know it's shocking, but this is today's ridiculous statement, which is the uniforms of college teams like Penn State and Alabama are, in his words, and I'm quoting him, wacky D, because they're boring only two colors, and he feels like that. Like, he even went as far as to say Notre Dame. Has like they're not, you know, like when I said it's a classic, it's a uniform.
They're not top 10.
No, he's throwing that out the window as well. So I want to know from you and all your football experience, do you view those uniforms, not the schools, not the program, we're just talking about the look. Do you view them as quote unquote wacky D?
That's not the first term I would use. It probably would have been the second or third term. I would say more traditional as the first word that came out.
But that's another way of saying boring.
No,
right?
It's not.
That's like a political suit with the blue tie, with the pink tie, with the blue suit and the white shirt. All I'm saying is when you have a third color, like Indiana, Alabama, right? They just, it's nothing you can do with the colorways. You either got white with the numbers, but when you take a team with the same colors, like Ohio State, and you add just a little silver, it gives you so much more flexibility. Like, I always thought the Giants and the Patriots, because they can go with the red, white, and blue, but they can add the gray in there. They can go white on white, and they can pipe it with different colors. Was always had like the better uniforms. We can't even go with Oregon. Oregon's a whole nother level of stuff.
Well, they just throw all kinds of colors in there at that point. But so, Mike, you don't view this as classic looks. You agree with Bart then? You think They need a little splash.
I like the traditional, but I do think having like an alternative uniform once or twice a year is a good way to keep things new.
Alternative uniform.
Yeah, alternative color. It's like you have your home in a way, but then you can do so much more stuff when you got a third color.
All right. Well, you're both wrong. I'm going to leave it like that. Mike, give me a prediction. What are you expecting on Sunday?
31-21 Kansas City Chiefs.
31? Well, okay. So they're going to put 31 on that defense.
Yeah, Mike, I ran it.
That defense hasn't played great.
I ran into your guy, Mike, too, from Open Cadillac, and he showed me some pictures of you going camping, being a girl dad, you know, back in the day with Ella.
You got to go buy a Cadillac. That's a good place. So that's
he
did mention that.
He says hello.
Okay.
I'm telling him I need a Mike Tannenbaum discount, though, because I ain't paying regular price. I ain't paying regular APR.
Wait, you get $1,000 off when we go to Sansone.
Sansone, yeah.
Right.
But I don't know if Sansone got Cadillac. You know what I'm saying?
But why do you? Well, it's an auto mall. They might have all different brands. But the fact that you.
Because Mike's sporting the Audi right now. He got the Audi.
But you want to get a discount where you already get one somewhere else.
Yeah, but they don't sell. They don't
always looking for a discount, you.
They don't sell the car. Well, that's what life's all about. Having friends. Network. It's not about your network. It's about your network.
I like that. Mike, good talking to you. Thanks so much for the time, as always.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. The Mike Tannenbaum Report. Brought to you by Sansone Auto Mall, by the way, Bart. Make your best deal right now at Sansone Auto Mall. And tell them Bart Scott sent you there.
I'm trying to get a discount right now from Sansone.
Take an extra $1,000 off your best deal. Call 1-800-SANSONE today.
I want a Hellcat Durango, baby.
You'll get nothing like it.
I want a Hellcat on all four-wheel drive. Put it to the road. Holla at your boy, Sansone.
You are all out of your mind. 800-993-3776. We have calls to get to, and also you know what's coming up next. That is Audio Files. Stay with us. Bart and Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So the Giants have a big decision to make this offseason when it comes to Saquon Barkley. What to do? Yesterday on the K-Show, Michael had some ideas.
This is the year the Giants have to make the playoffs again. They have to make a move. They can't finish under 500. So you're a little uncertain about your quarterback. Don't you need Saquon Barkley? So he made $10 million last year. And if you franchise for the second time, that'll make $12.5. That's still $3.5 million less than what McCaffrey makes. So it's not like he's getting an exorbitant amount of money. Why wouldn't you keep him on the franchise tag? He's a damn good player, a good representative of the Giants. And if you franchise tag him for $12.5 million, what's the big deal? What are you going to get that's better than him?
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael K. Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking
Splash! Shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. The Michael K Show will be live from UBS Arena tomorrow before the Islanders take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. It's going to be a great game, by the way. Doors will open at 5 p.m., so a little bit earlier because that's a later start. That's the ESPN vehicle. So doors open at 5 for fans to catch the K-Show before the games. You can come in and hang out with the guys. But more importantly, giving away 8 pairs of lower bowl tickets, so premium seating. And you get a pair of premium club seats at ESPNNewYork.com or on the ESPN New York app that you should already have on your phone. Just scroll down to contest, submit your entry. It's brought to you by the New York Islanders. Join the New York Islanders for some fun in February. Take advantage of special ticket pricing for upcoming home games at UBS Arena and be there for every thrilling matchup. Get your tickets today at NewYorkIslanders.com/Feb. You got that, Bart? NewYorkIslanders.com/Feb.
With the red unis.
They don't have red, but they do have orange, blue, and then white.
Orange, blue.
Orange and blue. Like the Knicks and the Mets. That's like a thing.
They have an orange
York.
Color?
You, yes.
I thought it was red.
The Islanders?
Oh, not the Islanders. Okay.
The Rangers
yeah.
are
oh,
red.
Oh, yeah, Rangers. I'm tripping. Okay. Yeah, Islanders, 3 colors. They look, the Knicks, yes. Perfect
well,
example.
I mean, it's orange and blue, which is everybody has white because it's, you know, it's like usually what you wear at home.
Notre Dame don't have white.
Notre Dame does have white.
Where?
What are you talking about? They have white. Huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You didn't know that?
So everything has to have white. It's mandatory.
Yes.
This is America.
All right, Bart Scott, it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in this segment we like to call
Audio Files. The Audio Files.
Oh, what do we have for you in Audio Files? We have Ian Begley. If you missed it at the beginning of the show, we had him come on and just give us the update, latest that he has heard and seen about Jalen Brunson, who injured his ankle last night in the fourth quarter of a game that was a blowout, then all of a sudden wasn't. The Knicks did hold on to win, but he left the game with about 5 minutes to go, and everybody held their breath at what could be another Knicks injury while they have been rolling. So, Bagels, how is he feeling?
Jalen, saw him walking outside, out of the garden, not limping noticeably, kind of walking slowly. Josh Hart, too, no limp. So they looked good visibly. And I also checked around. And the aftermath of that ankle injury, I was told that it seemed like he avoided anything serious, any significant ankle sprain. That was the read on it last night. Obviously, you guys know a lot depends on how you wake up the next day and how you feel. But that initial thought was that, you know, maybe he'll miss days, not going to miss weeks. So it seems like they dodged a significant ankle injury there with Jalen Brunson.
I mean, you'll take that prognosis, right, Bart? But is he right that the next day you could feel it more than you do that night?
Well, when I looked at it, the thing is he didn't step on somebody's foot, so it's not overstretching, right? Once the ground stops the severity of the stretch, right? When you step on somebody's foot, you have farther to go. So
good
instead
point.
Of 180, you can go like 240, ouch. Right? Instead of, he just really just went to the side and the ground stopped it for continuing rolling. So that's the good thing. You know, I would be more concerned about Middleton, who jumped up and landed on
– yes.
On KD's foot. You know, those are the ones that are more severe because it's also weight and more force coming down. So I don't think it was a lot of force when he rolled it. It just rolled over. I think he'll be fine.
You hope so. All right. Yeah. Chris Middleton, by the way, Bart is referencing as the Bucks lost again, by the way.
They didn't have anybody.
He rolled. They lost to the Suns, but he rolled his ankle stepping on Kevin Durant's foot. And they already were out. Damon Lillard, he didn't play
and Lopez.
In the game. Meanwhile, last night also in Brooklyn, you had the Dallas Mavericks who beat the Nets 119-107, and Kyrie Irving and Luka both played in that game, which is a rarity, as we know, for Dallas. But when they play together, they're very good. And Kyrie went for 36 in the win. And, of course, afterwards talked about his return to Brooklyn.
Yeah, just like any other basketball game. But it felt like being back. It felt like I was home tonight, getting here early, warming up, just getting a good sense of the rims and the atmosphere, what it was going to be like, and just mentally preparing myself for the game and just letting game come to me and allowing the basketball gods to do the rest. Just try to get as much sleep yesterday and come in with an open heart, open mind to see a lot of my friends and family that I've made here and put on a great show for them.
Does it bother you at all that he just is so matter of fact about his time in Brooklyn, which was incredibly celebrated when he went there, and he made a big deal about wanting to play for a team that he grew up rooting for? He's a New Jersey guy, and yet, like, his time there is an absolute abomination of frustration, of embarrassment, of, like, and in between there were moments of brilliance on the court. But, like, honestly, Bart, like, does it bother you at all that he is so, like, yeah, everything's great? Like, these people look at him like, man, this was a disaster.
Heart, man, and look at the team we have now.
You made James Harden beg to be traded away.
Like, we don't know what this team is, man. Like, you talk about a team that got to take a big look in the mirror.
Yeah,
during this time, man. Bond, I don't know how Bond survives this.
The Nets have lost 15 of 20.
Yeah, I don't know
how they're 10 games under 500 now. Like, that's rough.
How do you not start selling off pieces, bro?
Well, we'll see what they do over the next couple of days. But how about this? So a fan interaction was caught courtside, where a fan just let him know, because, you know, Kyrie was cooking like he normally does, and, you know, having a fun time as usual at the expense of the Nets. And a fan had enough and asked him a question that I think a lot of people wanted to ask him. And wait, you have to listen carefully at his answer.
Kyrie, why don't you play like this when you were on the Nets?
Yeah, right.
Why, Kyrie?
Thanks, Mayor Adams, for that, bro.
You hear what he said?
Thanks, Mayor Adams, for that.
Remember, it was the mayor who wouldn't let him play in home games because
they thought they were going to bail it out.
Yeah, because of the vaccination rule.
But they thought they were going to bail him out because they were big supporters of Mayor Adams and his election.
Right. The Nets had a connection with him, right?
And he turned.
So
he blamed
the mayor for why he couldn't play, which, you know.
But you hear the little kid, yeah, why not? You can tell the JV memory why that's dad.
I mean, there's a lot of frustration there.
Why not, Kyrie?
So
you heard my dad.
Kyrie and Luka will be at the Garden on Thursday. That game, which is on TNT. And can you imagine if they don't have Brunson in this game as well? And you're
Kyrie gonna cook.
Like, of course he is.
The crazy thing is,
he'll put on a show, and it'll be the same thing, and it's insufferable. If you ask me,
Luka, man, with this Sasha Vujicic's like little headband, it's getting on my nerves, man. I just want to rip it off his head.
Have you seen a player gain weight during the season? Have I asked you that before?
Yeah, Kyle Lowry is the name. Kyle Lowry. They gonna be announcing him coming in. Yeah, now coming into the game. Elamine,
hold on, my name ain't no damn Elamine.
One more basketball thing, by the way. Last night was before the injury, of course, was a celebration. Mike Breen and Walt Frazier, 25 years together on the TV booth, and you know, like, it was just a cool thing to see, and the crowd celebrated them. The players brought over jerseys that they all signed and everything else, and you know, it was very special. And the Michael Kay Show had the guys on to talk about the anniversary, and Mike Breen and Clyde were talking about memorable moments that stand out in those years.
For me, not necessarily there obviously a lot of fun games, exciting games. But for me, the highlights have always been when Clyde talks about the championship years. You know, as a kid, that's how I learned to love the game. And when he talks about his relationship with his teammates and the bond that they still have and how they were so connected despite coming from such diverse backgrounds, I could listen to him talk about those days forever because they were special to me as a kid. And to, you know, now kind of feel like you're a part of it by listening to him tell the stories. Those are the things I don't forget.
Hey, Don, someone was asking us, have we ever had an altercation? We could not recall one altercation in 25 years. Not one on-air problem that we ever had.
That's true, too. I mean, it's incredible how long they've been together. But, you know, you hear this stuff, Bar, right? Like, people get on each other's nerves. You don't ever get on my nerves.
You never get on my nerves.
No. Well, you'd have to care. for me to get on your nerves.
That's a level of respect that we have for each other, man. We were made to be, you know, besties.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But also,
some,
like,
some
I
people
saw
just
you,
have that.
Yeah. I saw you with Bill Bradley the other day, too, man,
oh,
as
last
they were
night.
Celebrating him in his
what
book.
What a. I want to get something. Actually, I'll send it to Tom. There's something that he says that I know will resonate with you. At the end of my interview, our interview, maybe Kenny Albert and I, at the end of the interview, that he says that I think would resonate with you. So I failed to send that to Tom, but I'll get it to him before the end of the show. Meanwhile, on the football side of things, of course, like I keep saying, by the way, there's a Super Bowl. And in this Super Bowl, there's two quarterbacks that are from very different, obviously, the incredible different spectrums, right? One is Patrick Mahomes, who's looking for legendary status if he wins yet another Super Bowl. The other one is Brock Purdy, the undrafted, the Mr. Irrelevant, the last player drafted, I should say, and yet emerged as the player who fit the best for them. And so let's start with Brock Purdy, because people have said that he's a game manager, like it's a bad thing, and so here's what he thinks of that.
It can be a compliment at times where it's like, all right, you got a guy that can come in and run the system well. I feel like that's a compliment. You know, you're doing things right mentally, and obviously you're good enough to be able to hit guys that are open and make plays. You know, there's 32 teams in the NFL, and there's not a lot of people that can come in and play the quarterback position well in the NFL. It's a hard job. So if you're saying that I'm a game manager and I don't look flashy in how I do it, I mean, that's your opinion, and that's okay. And at the end of the day, I want to do what it takes to help my team win. And so I think winning at the end of the day in the NFL is probably the biggest and most important thing.
Isn't it the best stat? Right?
Yeah.
Isn't the best stat is your win? And the quarterback is the one who owns the wins and losses, just like the coach.
But so, you heard Tannenbaum, though.
Yeah, when you have to pay him, I know. I look, you keep bringing that up, but let's enjoy the moment right now. And let's enjoy this. So of all the things that's being said about Brock Purdy, I wonder what you think of this one. Someone on social media said, I figured out who Brock Purdy looks like. They said it was Lee Harvey Oswald.
Nah.
Now, you know he's, again, infamously known as the one who allegedly, I don't know if it's allegedly, he was... I guess there are. It's still conspiracies, but still. Shot John F. Kennedy.
Yep. He doesn't look like him. Like,
so,
if
you put
him
side by side, it is kind of freaky. So, yeah. Anyways.
We did this before.
Purdy was asked about it.
Pictures of you and Lee Harvey Oswald circling around the internet right now. People think you two look alike. Did you ever hear that before?
I haven't. That's my first time hearing it. Yeah.
What do you think about that comparison? Physical comparison.
I don't know.
So what do you think of that comparison? The physical comparison.
Yeah, he don't even know who Lee Harvey Oswald is, probably. Somebody had to tell him. But I'm telling you, like, they did this already, right? He looks like John Harbaugh. He looks like his son. Remember I showed you the side-by-side picture? They had half of his face and half his face.
I don't remember that.
Yeah,
show me
that later. 2 weeks ago.
All right, show me that later, because I don't remember that. You might have shown that to one of your other white friends.
Only have one white friend.
Wow. All right. Hang on a second. Just got emotional. And then we have this from Patrick Mahomes. Not about his dad. Not about Taylor Swift. Not even about Tom Brady. No. This is about him and his lack of core. His lack of a six-pack.
I have a six-pack. It's just under the dad bod. So it's just, if you feel, I mean, there might be some skin there, but then underneath that, the six-pack's there. You just got to get real close, and you got to squint a little bit, and I think you'll see it.
I don't think you're going to squint.
But you know.
You got to just press really hard. Because, like, don't we all do that where it's like, listen, all right, you tighten up your abs, and then you just push against the blubber, and you're like, no, there it is. It's there. It's just really, really far down.
But here's the thing, though, about, like, when the league loves you opposed to when you're somebody hated. Nobody asked him about his dad, right? Nobody went there. But, you know, you think about some of the other guys that had to go there. They get asked all these crazy questions, especially.
No, he was asked about his dad.
Oh,
he absolutely was. Oh, 100%.
Okay.
He just said it's a family matter, and he said that he's doing okay now. Like, that his father was doing okay now, but he said it's a family matter. He's going to leave it there. But he didn't. No, he was definitely asked about it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, no. It wasn't as if he was.
Like, will your dad be at the game?
Yeah. No, it was definitely brought up. But still, the other stuff, though, gets fun, and that was kind of funny. So, thought we'd go there.
All right, check when you get a chance. Check the thing.
Did you actually put something on the group chat? That might be the first time.
Because I was trying to tell you that we've discussed this before. And he looks way more like John Harbaugh than he does anybody else. Looks like his son.
That's pretty close. You're right.
And they did the face side by side where they put half his face on one side and the other.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Oh, I see that one with the half face.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. That's freaky.
See?
Okay.
I told you this is what I do, man.
You're very good at that, of who he looked like. That is definitely something you do. And what we do is audio files. 800-919-3776. We'll continue with your call. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So, Bart, here. Let's just take a moment. I want you to listen to this. This is the end of so Kenny Albert and I interviewed Senator Bill Bradley, the Hall of Famer, the former, the great Nick, won two championships there, who's doing, he has out now on Max, a one-man show that he does. It's basically a documentary about his life and experiences, and it's called Rolling Along. And so we had him on to promote it. Yeah, it's very similar to that. And one of the things I asked him about was just, you know, his Knicks teams and, you know, his motivation to do what he's doing and to talk about all this stuff. And this really resonated with me of what he said, so I want you to hear it.
Given the division in our society now, that we could learn a lot from the success of the Knicks teams. I mean, you know, take responsibility for yourself. Respect your fellow human being. Disagree with them openly, honestly, civilly. Enjoy their humanity and never look down on people you don't understand. That typified our Knicks team, and that, I think, is America at its best.
America at its best. And that's why I always say it's sports – to me, is like the great example of what society could be when it comes to the idea of teamwork and people from different backgrounds that, you know, can find each other and find chemistry without ever knowing. Like if you had just met on the street, you would know that you could connect in that kind of a way and to do something together that would be considered a great success.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, and that's the tough part, right, when you consider, you know, in a sports atmosphere, the goal is to win. In politics or the world, the goal isn't to win together. It's to win separately because it's not a team.
It's almost like to be right more than anything else. Yeah, I'd rather be right.
It's Republican versus Democrat, right? Yes. It's not one team. It's not, you know, working for the American people. It's like, okay, we want to win and we don't want to give you any wins because if we let you win, then it makes us look like a loser. And we don't want to give you the credit. We want the credit for anything that positive that happens. As long as you have that type of mindset, we'll never have what we are able to get in sports, right? When people are afraid to reach across the aisle and say, this is what's for the betterment of humanity, which is who we're supposed to be trying to make life better for, the future. You know, we're the stakeholders, but it's temporary, right? Because at some point we all get older, we all move, and it affects our children. So that, you know, that's great what Senator Bradley said, but it's hard to accomplish because it's two teams, not one.
Well, that's when it comes to the party system you're talking about. But I think, you know, that's the politics side of it. But in just, you know, in society.
Trying to truly understand is everybody's trying to get a win for their side.
Do you really feel like it's amazing? And you said that because I never really thought about it. We always think about society. We always just like, you know, you could be at a mall. You could be at a supermarket. You could be anywhere. You could be at a game or on the subway. And it's all people from different walks of life, right? And we're all kind of trying to do the same thing, whether it's we're trying to buy groceries for our family, we're trying to, you know, get to work, you know, those kind of things. We all do the same thing. And yet you said something that I don't really think about. It's amazing that are we really now more galvanized, like divided more than ever by just simply red or blue? Like, what, I can't talk to you if you support this.
And it's blind. It's blind, too. It's like blind faith. Like,
but hear what he said. He said, which I thought, again, this is important. Disagree openly, honestly, and civilly. That's the most important part. Because we could, a lot of people are not, they don't have no problem disagreeing openly.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know about honestly, but not, but openly, yes. The problem is that the civilly part, we never can get it. The emotions get too raw. And we can never have a conversation because we don't allow ourselves to listen or at least accept that. Okay, well, that's how you feel. And you're, like you and I doing the whole Jersey thing.
Yeah.
I think you're wrong. But it doesn't mean that, like, I can't talk to you about it.
Right. Like, you're mad. Like, we can't talk anymore. Like, I get mad at my mom all the time. Like, we disagree on stuff and the way she sees things and the ways I see things.
Yep.
Remember, it's a generational gap. It's a gender gap.
Yep.
Right? All that. But at the end of the day, I never get to the point where I'm upset with my mom, where I don't want to talk to her, like, I can't talk to you today. But that's how things happen when you're discussing things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, okay, well. And it's like, we get nothing accomplished in this country, right?
You're that's like, what it feels like.
It's like okay,
we're running on ice all the time.
When you get in, we're going to block everything you do and use everything within our power until you get in, and then we'll block as much as we can, and we'll undo everything that you did.
Yeah.
It's like, well.
And it's always someone else's fault.
Right.
There's no accountability. It's always someone else's fault. Like, nothing gets done because of this. Yeah. And that, and those things that do get done, you know, is also because of something else. It's unbelievable. But I just want to repeat it again. This is what the senator said. Yeah. And these are just tenets of life. Just think about this for a minute. How hard is it to just do these things? Take responsibility for yourself. When you're an athlete on a team, that's definitely something that you have to do, right? Like, I got to do my job. I've got to be prepared. I got to work out. I've got to do what you take responsibility for yourself. If I fail, it's on me. Respect your fellow human being. That's your teammates. Respect them as well. What they have to do, their job, what they have to accomplish. Disagree openly, honestly, and civilly. Enjoy the humanity. You know, that's the other part of it, Bart. That's what we do every day, don't we? We take calls from different people from different walks of life, and we have fun with everybody. Right? We do. We have fun with everybody. Mm-hmm. All the different backgrounds that we have. You're curious about certain things that you don't know about. I'm curious about things that I don't know about. I still find myself like trying to figure out Black Twitter. You have helped me with it. And I love it because it's just a whole other world that I never knew about that is fascinating to me.
And I'm seeing your world from your perspective.
Right. Boring. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand. I it's not as exciting, but okay.
Not at all, man. Not at all.
Never look down on people you don't understand. I think that is, to me, resonates more than anything. Isn't that something that we do? I don't know what you're about. I don't know your culture. Why do you do, you know, this is the Archie Bunker thing. Why do you people do that?
Right.
Like, so I look down on it because it doesn't make sense to me. So right away, it's like, that's weird. Why are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't look down on it. Just understand it. That's just what they do. That's their culture.
Right.
And understand it. Maybe once you understand it, okay, that's
you may
what they
not
do.
Agree with you. You don't have to incorporate it in your life, but it don't mean that you look down to them or think that they're something's wrong with them because they have a different. That's what makes the world so great.
It should.
Everybody
anyway.
Has a different perspective, a different way of thinking, and you can learn how to accept what you can accept, and you don't have to be around what you don't want to be around.
Like people say, hey, we don't listen to this show to talk about politics.
Okay, well then, it's plenty of shows for you to find.
Right.
It's fine.
Right.
Like nobody's accepted 100% from everybody.
No.
That would be boring too.
I always say this to my kids. Don't worry about that nobody that a lot of people don't like you. You don't like everybody.
Right.
Like you don't like everybody. Why does everybody have to like you? It's just the way it is. So if you want to listen to terrible takes and, you know, fans just screaming about dumb stuff, there's another dial. There's another station down the dial. If you want to listen to what we have to say and have some fun with us and not take life so seriously. That's what we're here for. And you know what's next? The Power Hour. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon Damer at the 98.7 Tullamore Dew Sports Desk. So yesterday on the K Show, the guys were talking with Justin Pugh about his career.
By some of his answers, though, Pugh gave some insight to Don about how Joe Shane goes about his business.
Joe Shane is all business. He's not getting caught up in any of the what you mean to the franchise and with the kind of guy you are. He's all about the dollars. Everything Justin told you, forget about thinking they're going to be rebuilding, do Barkley a favor becoming a free agent, not putting the franchise tag on him. Listening to Justin Pugh, I'm convinced now the reason the Giants are not giving him the franchise tag is because they don't believe Saquon Barkley is worth $12.5 million.
And that is brought to you by Tullamore Dew, because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Tullamore Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cast matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Tullamore Dew or try the brand new Tullamore Dew Honey. During tonight's action, glasses up to enjoying Tullamore Dew responsibly. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's the Michael Kay Show, and it's only here on 98.7 FM.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.